Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
And there are some people you better stay away from. And as much as you might misinterpret what I'm telling you, this is bad for you.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Continuing our look at the general epistles, Pastor takes us on a flyover of the three epistles of John, continuing our mini-series Pastor called The Bible at 30,000 Feet. Today's message is called A Father's Words to His Children.
John was writing this like a father. He loved his spiritual children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. He was the oldest and last disciple. And he had such a burden for them and communicating to them that he wrote these three letters, the three epistles. John himself was in Jerusalem. John then, for probably 25 or 30 years, kind of, you don't hear much about him in the New Testament other than Acts chapter 8. And then John finally shows up later in Ephesus preaching the gospel. He outlives all the rest of the disciples and finds himself now penning letters from Ephesus where he pastored. And so he wrote the first letter. And then about a year later, wrote another letter that was circulated among all those churches and wrote a third letter. All of them have the same thumbprint on them and emphasis. Hey, listen, I want you to be strong. And this is what he writes very simply in the first letter. We don't have time to go through all of it. So jump to one verse, 1 John chapter 5. If we were to study through all this, this would be months and it would be awesome, but we don't have months. So this is the one statement about 1 John chapter 5, 13, when he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may believe on the name of the Son of God." And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Key word is no. You had people that were doubting and questioning, and those father's words to his kids were very simply, "You need to understand that I'm giving this to you because as a loving father, I'm commanding you to embrace fellowship with God." And you know how you could summarize it very simply? He's saying, listen, live confidently. Live confidently. And if you live rightly, you'll have that fellowship with the one that wants more fellowship than you do. And then he writes a second letter, not more than 12 months later, and he makes the statement, the emphasis, in the second epistle of John. He really gives a personal postcard. It's the smallest letter in all of the New Testament and in all the Bible. And it now circulates, but particular, he mentions, to the elder and the elect lady and her children. Now, whether that was symbolic, I've had a tendency to say it was to a particular lady and her children that were involved in this church, and he makes the emphasis to her. And now, as a loving father, he's not necessarily commanding them, but he's cautioning them. Because these believers, notice in verse 1, the elder and the elect lady and her children, I love in the truth. Hear these terms, and not I only, but also all that have know the truth's sake, which dwells in us. And notice verse 3, grace to you, mercy, peace, and notice God the Father from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. And again, talks about truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of your children walking in truth as we've received a commandment from who? The Father. Powerful words to help us understand as a loving father. You know what John said secondly? He's cautioning them. You avoid fellowship. He says, I want you to embrace fellowship with God. But this second letter, he says, I'm cautioning you. You avoid it with false teachers. Notice what he says in verse 5. I'm beseeching you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. He's saying, listen, you're doing right as a family and as his father, saying, listen, I want you to embrace his fellowship. It'll help you be strong. But now as a good father, he's saying, listen, there are some things that sternly, because he cared about them, they had fallen into trouble. There were things that happened. And they, because they were wanting to show much so love, that sincerity was getting them into problem because they were missing truth. that don't lose those things which you wrought. And they were received a full reward. He's saying, listen, I don't want you to miss out on what God wants for you, so you make sure and listen to what is right. You know what he's saying very simply? And the first letter, live confidently. Know it. Here's the second letter. He says very simply, listen, you need to love, but love wisely. Love discerningly. Be aware that just because people say, I'm of Christ, I love Jesus, you better make sure, is this the same Jesus that you're worshiping? And it sounds a little harsh and it sounds a little critical, but understand that if anybody had a right to say it, John, the father, had a right to say it because he saw their steadfastness and the truth was waning. They were being threatened by teachers that were saying one thing and they really weren't there. It's no different than many of you as dads, and certainly you appreciate as moms, because most moms have a tendency to go after it in giving warnings more quickly than dads do. But the fact is, there's many times that as a dad, you say, hey, listen, you better be careful of that. Don't do that. We had some of our guys that are planning to go spearfishing. And one of my last words to one of my own children was, hey, just be wise, be smart. Listen, the ocean is not prejudiced. They don't care whether you're white or black or big or small or strong or weak. Just be wise, okay? Don't go do something stupid that you're going to regret it. I said that also to the other guys that were going. You know why? Because I don't want anybody hurt. That's just so obvious. Well, the fact is, this is exactly what John does. But listen to me. He says it in a detailed way as a dad saying, listen, you be careful. And when it comes to spiritual matters, just because you love everybody, and in this particular church, that's exactly what's happening. You had people that were in that economy. There was no Motel 6s, no Hyatts, no Hiltons, or even a Motel 6. And so, with people would come through and they would be saying that they are a Christian and they're telling the truth, that you would immediately bring them into your home and show hospitality. That was common. It was totally accepted. The difficulty was there were some coming in, and in the time that they were staying for those few nights before they moved on, they were giving enough subtle teaching that was just close to the truth, but one dose of spiritual arsenic and poison in it that was killing the desire of the children that John saw. And he said, listen, you get to the point that if you know they're not talking, that, listen to me, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and all the doctrine of Christology and who Jesus Christ really is, he said, listen, don't even put them into your home. Don't even, verse 10, if they're coming to you, to bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Don't even heed him. Godspeed. He that bids him Godspeed, you're partaking of his own evil deeds. Man, that was pretty direct. You mean I got to say, sorry, I care about you, but man, you are living in error. And John wisely, in his advanced age, identified the fact that as a good dad, he's saying, listen, I'm trying to lead, and as a good children, you listen to me. And though John commends love as a necessary ingredient of the Christian life, it's not sentimentality embracing those who willfully seek to destroy the truth. And one author says, quote, John's warning is stern. He knows a letter is not the best place to elaborate it. So he finishes this with verse 12. He says, there's many more things I want to say to you. I'm just not going to write them with paper and ink, but I'm trusting to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. And as a good dad, he's saying, listen, there's some things I'm going to say to you. I'm going to tell you this now. Listen, I'm not going to write it now. When I get there, I'm going to tell you. Man, there was... And after that letter, months went by, and he eventually wrote a third letter, just a little bit longer, but still on one piece of paper, or papyrus. And this is what he emphasized in 3 John, with this we close today, when as a loving father, he challenges them in this third letter to enjoy the fellowship, to enjoy fellowship with other Christian brothers. Evidently, the point had been made. They got it. And now he follows it up as a good dad with a very positive statement. You want to enjoy this fellowship with God. Believe him and be strong. And there are some people you better stay away from. And as much as you might misinterpret what I'm telling you, this is bad for you. And then he comes along and he says, now, by the way, these are people that are good for you. And he writes this letter to a guy named Gaius. And again, the whole emphasis of 3 John is exactly what you find building on 1 John, 2 John. And by the time you get to 3 John, you realize he's challenging them now. Enjoy the fellowship. And he's comforting them, as he says in these first verses. We won't read through this whole small letter. But you notice again, he makes the emphasis in verse 2. Beloved, I'm wishing above all things. I'm desiring that above all things that you would prosper and you would be in health. even as your soul prospers. He's saying, listen, literally, very simply, I hope that your body is as healthy as knowing your soul is. Many times we pray the exact opposite. And John's saying, listen, I know your soul is prospering, Gaius, and I hope that physically you're prospering as much as your soul is, which, by the way, is part of the reason why when we pray on Wednesday nights, we have a litany and list of people that have physical problems. You say, well, we shouldn't pray for that. Well, evidently, John's saying, listen, I hope, I'm desiring, I'm wishing it, you're physically well. There's nothing wrong with that. But many times our physical bodies aren't what we would like them to be, but as long as our soul is prospering, and that's what he's saying. And he again reminds them, listen, as a father, I have no greater joy, verse 4, than to hear that my children are walking in truth. You know what he's wanting? He's wanting them to walk in truth. I could speak for every mom and dad here, certainly for every dad here. You know what their greatest desire is for you, son? His greatest desire for you, young lady, is you to walk in obedience. They might not say it always. They might not always communicate it. Your father might be the poorest example of who God is, but it doesn't change the fact that their still heart is they want you to be better than themselves. They want you to move farther than themselves. For every father would hear, their heart would cry out, wanting their children to walk in obedience. Many dads here have children, and they're not walking in obedience. And every day it sits on their head. For a mom, it sits in their heart. Proverbs says, a wise son makes a glad father. And John is no different in saying, listen, I want you to walk in obedience. I want you to live in charity and communicate that to others in the family of God. At this point, there were people that were showing hospitality and giving it rightly. Things had got corrected. And even within this family of God here, you had still some that weren't walking obediently. They weren't walking prosperously. He mentions the very name. You find it. Again, this is an overview of 3 John, but he mentions him in verse 9. Can you imagine this letter being read to everybody in the church? And here's this guy sitting in the church, and his name is mentioned specifically by the father that loved them in John. And he mentions him, Diotrephes, verse 9. I'm writing unto you, church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore he said, I'm coming, I'm going to remember his deeds, which he's done. He's prating about, he's talking nonsense against us with malicious words. He's not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. He's forbidding them that would and casting them out of the church. Man, it was like, whew. Have you been in a situation with your family where your mom or your dad, particularly your dad, got upset at somebody in your family and they mentioned them by name? And that's exactly what you end up finding. And out of all of that, do you remember, he was known as the beloved brethren, the apostle of love. But it was earlier, 50 years earlier, when you find himself now as one of the sons of thunder, James and John. They were closest to Jesus, spent more time with him than anybody. And they were so fiery and so energetic and so passionate and so out of control in saying things that years later, decades later, you find him as a father. But there's still that flair of saying, listen, man, you got some people like a Diotrephes. There was this air of proud arrogance where he had slowly taken charge of the church and telling people what to do and what not to do, even including questioning the Apostle John. And John said, listen, when I get there, I want to help you understand. He's not right, because you know why? He's proud.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.